Seattle's Morning News, Dave Ross with Colleen O'Brien. And now we start to get all the individual cases that have been affected by the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. Let's talk with former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, a conversation sponsored by Madrona Financial Services. And one of those cases is out of Texas, where a pregnant woman was pulled over for driving alone in the HOV lane and told the cop, "Well, I'm pregnant." So there are actually two people in this car. She got a ticket anyway. So we're learning the limits of this decision. What does this particular case tell us?
One of the things it tells us is that the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs v. Mississippi doesn't create personhood for fetuses or unborn children. In fact, the majority opinion says our opinion is not based on any view about if and when prenatal life is entitled to any of the rights enjoyed after birth. The opinion is about leaving it to the states to decide whether abortion will be allowed or not. The majority opinion in Dobbs does not create a positive right for the unborn child or fetus.
So what the Supreme Court is saying is that if Texas wants to define a pregnant woman as two people for the purposes of the HOV lane, it is free to pass such a law.
They're not saying that so explicitly. They're simply saying it's up to the states whether to make abortion illegal and under what circumstances or not, or whether to allow abortion to be legal. If a state like Texas decides to declare an unborn child to be a person, it would seem to be within the state's rights to do that, but the Supreme Court's not mandating it. Arizona, by the way, has already done this. They already had a statute on the books. It was a trigger law attempting to create a personhood status for unborn children, apparently from the moment of conception. And it's been enjoined, so temporarily prevented from taking effect, because that court said, look, it's too vague. On its face, the statute would appear to result in, you know, the homicide statute in that state applying to an emergency abortion or an abortion for a severe genetic abnormality.
Too vague to be enforceable. So would that apply? Because I'm also reading some stories about women who are concerned because they're taking drugs for other diseases like cancer or lupus, which can apparently raise the risk of a miscarriage. So could that count as an abortion? Would the law force them to stop taking those life-saving drugs just on the chance it might cause a miscarriage?
The statute in Arizona says that it does not create a cause of action against a woman for indirectly harming her unborn child by failing to, quote, properly care for herself or failing to follow any particular program of prenatal care. That doesn't seem to cover the example you just gave, that a woman needs to take particular medication that could have an effect on her unborn child. Is she going to be accused of child abuse or even of homicide if the result of taking that medication, which she needs, results in the child miscarrying, for example? This is exactly what the court in Arizona is getting at, is that if you're that woman who needs that medication that may have a side effect, she can't tell if this new statute applies to her or not.
Yeah. The other thing that developed was the president's emergency directive saying that the Department of Health and Human Services is going to enforce this rule that if a woman comes in for emergency treatment, then a doctor cannot refuse to perform an abortion if it's necessary to save her life. So did he need to do that? Or I would think that would be understood. But again, it's confusing. I don't know.
You know, it could be read as an attempt to send a clear signal to providers, in particular providers that receive federal funding, which is, you know, pretty much all of them, it seems these days, that they have to comply with the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act. So what they're saying is in states that do not have a life and health exception to their abortion prohibition, those providers still have to comply with federal law, and the federal law preempts the state law.
Okay, but doctors are making these decisions, what, in a couple of minutes when somebody rolls into the emergency room. Are they going to worry about being second-guessed in a court of law anytime a pregnant woman comes in the door?
Well, that's a really good question. I think they have to be concerned about it. to me, you know, as a lawyer who counsels big organizations, I would say figure it out in advance. Mm-hmm. Decide what you're going to do as a matter of hospital policy or clinic policy, because this is going to happen. A woman is going to arrive on your doorstep in your ER, and you're going to have to make the call of whether or not you're going to follow the federal law, assuming, again, you're in a state that prohibits abortions, even where the life and health of the mother are at stake, or you're going to follow the state law. Are you going to risk criminal prosecution if that's what the state law calls for, or risk losing some federal funding? So we're in for a long run here of sorting out, assuming that the Dobbs decision stands for the foreseeable future.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Dave.